when we know that somebody has hurt us, when they've done something that requires our forgiveness, how do we go about this? How do we confront this? And especially when we're in a difficult place emotionally or maybe mentally, and we're having a hard time forgiving, where we're maybe supremely annoyed in comparison to the offense anyway, right? I had the blessing of having an opportunity to pray the rosary, which I, by the way, really needed at that moment to focus myself yet again. That's how quickly I lose it. Pray for an hour, see something done that's very minor but wrong, and I lose it, and I have to pray half an hour again to the rosary to bring myself back. That's just me, right? That's just me. I know you're not nearly as impatient as I am. I realized as I was praying this rosary, a technique that I use that I wonder if maybe you might benefit from. And I just realized that as I was praying the rosary, thinking, I do this a lot, where I bring to the rosary the particular suffering, difficulty, the challenge that I'm going through, and I pray the rosary, yes, meditating on the life of Jesus, but also trying to process some difficult experience in my life. And to me, this is a really, really beautiful part of how we pray the rosary. And I want to talk about this to maybe give you a little idea of when you're struggling with forgiveness, when you're struggling with letting things go, when you're struggling with it being the victim of an injustice, how do you move forward from that? And I'm thinking of things much more significant than this very minor thing, right? I'm thinking of those times when you've been very deeply hurt by another person. How do you address that? Especially when emotionally it's really hard to move forward. It's really hard to move into the spiritual realm. Here's what I do. You start praying the rosary, okay? And then you start using the mysteries of the rosary. I definitely think the sorrowful mysteries are the best ones to pray when we're trying to learn forgiveness. And I'll share with you why. Because all of them, all of the sorrowful mysteries are a tool for us to reflect on the life of Jesus, who was so wronged. I mean, the greatest injustice of all time, literally perpetrated against God himself in the person of Jesus. And you and I can meditate on these experiences that Jesus went through and then learn to see our own sufferings and struggles in the light of that. So the first mystery, first sorrowful mystery, the agony of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, you're going to recognize the suffering that Jesus goes through, which also means you're going to think about the suffering that you're going through. You're also going to recognize the sufferings that others are going through, because just as Jesus was sweating blood and painfully awaiting what was to come, he was also reflecting on the suffering of sinners throughout all time. It's part of the agony of Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we have to reflect on all of that suffering that we're going through, that we're going to go through, that others are going through. And then what do? We do exactly what your grandma used to always tell you. You offer it up. Right? You turn it over to the Lord. You recognize and put it into context and say, wait a second, I can't solve this suffering. I'm going to give this to Jesus. You make an act of the will and you turn that suffering over to the Lord. I think what we also do in this moment is we look at situations and try to understand them better. Just as Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane saw so clearly all of the sinfulness of humanity, and then would also put it into context, would see the weakness of that you and I experience, would see the trials and the circumstances that we have, would also see the many blessings we've been given, and we put that sin into context. For example, I was thinking as this woman raced away in her truck, my first reaction when I got my mental faculties back was to look and think, well, maybe she's poor and didn't have anywhere else to put this trash. And maybe she was embarrassed to ask permission from anybody. Maybe she's been turned down by others and thought that she just had no other option. I thought maybe she's homeless and she didn't have anywhere else to put that garbage. Maybe she's suffering from mental illness and isn't aware of what's right and wrong. Maybe she hasn't been formed in the ethical life and the moral life. Maybe she doesn't see it as the same injustice that I was experiencing it as, right? You walk through all the different ways that we can be wronged and experience, we can put the sin into context anyway, and the sinner see them through the grace of God. Okay, so that's the first mystery. Offer it up, offer it back to the Lord, and try to move on to the next step, which is to realize Jesus, when he was scourged at the pillar, the second mystery, a second sorrowful mystery, I should say, Jesus experienced injustice and suffering and pain at the hands of others. I mean, totally undeserved. Jesus was perfect, and certainly Jesus was God. He didn't deserve to experience any injustice. In fact, any sin or injustice perpetrated against Jesus is an offense that is infinitely, that has infinite woundedness there, because he is infinite himself, right? So if Jesus himself experienced injustice, why should you and I have it any different? In fact, Jesus himself will talk about this at different points and mention, you know, why do you think you get to be relieved of the sufferings that the Master has just because we're his disciples? Why do we get to go through different sufferings and trials and tribulations? We don't. Just as Jesus experienced injustice and suffering, so his followers too will experience injustice and suffering. Believe me, that doesn't make it easier. I know that. It doesn't all of a sudden say, oh, well, now I guess that offense I experienced at the hands of my loved ones, now it doesn't bother me because I know Jesus also was hurt by his loved ones. No, the pain is still very acute and it's still difficult. We still suffer. But at least we recognize that, oh, we don't blow it out of proportion and say, why me? Why am I the only one that suffers? Why am I the only one that has to go through these things? You're not, right? You're not. Jesus himself went through it, and every follower of his since has gone through trial and difficulty, and therefore you and I also must go through difficulty at different points in our life, okay? That's the second sorrowful mystery. Jesus is scourged at the pillar. The third sorrowful mystery, Jesus is crowned with thorns. Suffering should lead us to grow to grow in humility. We see this when Jesus is crowned with thorns. I mean, this beautiful virtue of humility that Jesus demonstrates to us, which is to say that by him allowing the mockery of the soldiers and those who wanted him dead, by him allowing himself to be crowned with thorns in such a painful and suffering way, not only the pain of the thorns piercing his head, but more so the mockery that accompanied it, so you and I can learn great humility when we go through suffering and trial. The pain that you experience at the hands of others, it can be frustrating, right? It can be painful. It can even be mortal, people that hurt us that badly. But our response always needs to be like Jesus' response at his passion. It always does. You and I must respond by growing in virtue. And I think the image of Jesus being crowned with thorns should remind us that we must grow in humility and realize that just because we are beloved children of God doesn't mean that we are somehow free of suffering and free of experiencing pain and trial and injustice. Right? So just as Jesus was crowned with thorns and gives us such a perfect example of humility, you and I, when we experience injustice, we also realize, hey, wait a second, there's an opportunity for me to be humbled, not to cry out to the heavens for justice necessarily and demand vengeance upon those who have hurt us, but instead to remind us that Christ can reign in our hearts, right? Christ is King, is Lord, and yet he's so humble before us. The fourth sorrowful mystery, remember, we're walking through some steps to help you address. And what you do is you bring your own particular suffering to the rosary this way. And so you say, well, how can this suffering lead me to grow in humility? How can this suffering lead me to realize that, well, I have to experience injustice and pain, right? The fourth sorrowful mystery, Jesus carries his cross to Calvary. We have to bear our injustice. We have to bear the offenses against us. I know there's that inbuilt desire that each of us has, being made in the image and likeness of God, for justice. We thirst for it. We long for it. We know it's what we deserve. We know it's what we're owed from others, justice. And yet we don't see it. And what do? Like Jesus, who bore his cross patiently, who bore his cross to Calvary, knowing where it would take him, he walked along bearing that burden and that difficulty. Maybe like me, sometimes you just want all injustices to be erased in the world. You want all offenses to be fixed in your own time frame. Right now, you want everything to be worked out and every debt owed or paid back that had from people who have hurt you. But I think the Jesus's patient march to Calvary reminds us that we must also very carefully, very patiently bear injustice against us. Finally, of course, Jesus is crucified and dies on the cross. It's the ultimate moment of forgiveness. I mean, it's the ultimate moment of Jesus saying, throughout all of this, the agony in the garden, being scourged at the pillar, being crowned with thorns, taking his cross all the way to Calvary, barely making it, only making it because of the help of Simon of Cyrene, because of the grace of God, because of the women that he met along the way who encouraged him, especially his mother and Veronica. He makes it to the crucifix, to Golgotha, I should say, to Calvary, and he's there crucified. He's there for the ultimate act of reconciliation, to bring you and me back into union with God the Father. And notice, he's not there to see perfect justice be exacted at that moment. In fact, it's the greatest injustice of all time, God himself dying on the cross, and yet it leads to our forgiveness, to your forgiveness and mine. He dies to himself. He gives us an example of dying, of giving up his life, giving up his spirit. He gives us an example of forgiving those around him. In fact, he cries out on the cross, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Not only those who were near him, but you and me included in that cry to the Father. If there's any moment that we must reflect upon when we're trying to forgive others, it's being at the foot of the cross and recognizing that Jesus himself did it first. Jesus himself forgave you, he forgave me, he forgave all people who had offended the Lord, and he wants to restore us to perfect communion with the Father. It's the example par excellence that we have of forgiveness, Jesus there on the cross. I guess I'm walking through this because for me, this is such an important part of praying the rosary. And sometimes it's only one incident we need in mind that we bring to every single mystery. And we say, well, what does this mystery reveal not only about my life, but about the life of Jesus? What does this mystery reveal not only about the experience that I'm going through, but the experience of our Blessed Mother walking with Jesus at these different moments in his life? And when we do that, it's amazing how we start to see things differently. The big, huge offenses that we feel are so a cry out to heaven for justice, we realize, wait a second, I can forgive these. I can let these go. I can handle these like Jesus did, meekly, patiently, lovingly, and with forgiveness in my heart. I can see through the eyes of Mary all the injustices perpetrated against her son and realize that we will see justice one day. In the moment, though, it's up to you and it's up to me to bear patiently the sufferings that Jesus allows and to accept the injustices and pain and suffering that he permits in our life. If you're struggling maybe to forgive somebody in your life, if you're struggling to show forgiveness to another that you know deserves it, that you know at least in light of the gospel you must show that person, but you're having a hard time doing it, maybe you need to find the key, the solution in praying the rosary. Maybe you can discover inside of a careful, meditative prayer, a prayerful participation in the rosary, that Jesus himself wants to lead you to forgiveness. He wants to lead you to let go of injustice, to let go of the different pains and sufferings that you've experienced at the hands of others, to turn them over to him and allow his grace to permeate your life. And along the way, our Blessed Mother will help you out. I think that's the real secret of the rosary, is that when you're praying with Mary, you realize how powerful her intercession is for you. When she's praying for you, we see that Jesus, her son, listens and answers her prayers much more quickly than when we simply cry out to God on our own. Jesus answers the prayers of his mother because of her special privileged role, singular role in salvation history. So that's why we pray the rosary. That's why you and I turn ourselves over to the mercy and love of God, so that we can also be instruments of that same love and mercy to others.